So here we're in the middle of the Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel, and we're talking about Esther and how, you know, Esther, Rabbi Akiva said, what did Esther, how was she zoicha to see Ma Rosa Esther Timloch Almeves from Sheva Medinois? What did she see that she could rule over 127 countries? Tovoi Basbito Shel Sora, led the granddaughter of Sora come, who lived 127 years. So Rebbe Melech has a beautiful word. He says like this: Vayu Chaye Sora, Pirish Rashi. The Torah tells us that Sora lived 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Rashi says Baskuf Kabaschov, when she was like 100, she was like 20, and when she was like 20, she was like 7 for beauty. She was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7 years old. So Rebbe Melech asks, L'choyle my nafke mine shoyse kebazayin liyofi. I'm interested to hear that she was as blameless and guiltless and innocent at the age of 100 as she was at the age of 20. It's interesting. But to tell me that she was as beautiful at the age of 20 as she was at the age of 7, my nafke mine, what's he coming to teach? So Rebbe Melech says, "V'nira the Rashi zal kivim edvurav l'ram zal beis madrege shemuchiv odim nisnag bem kol yom." Of Rashi is teaching us two important things that a person needs to be accustomed to all his life. Dahenu ha'echad lihizoher v'lishame b'moed moed mikol chet v'ovin. Of course, a person has to really be careful not to sin. Shleiav v'chas v'li l'shem mitzvus asel v'lois asel, not to transgress on forbidden and not to miss out on doing what a commanded to do. Madrega beis, the second level, that when it comes to eating and drinking and dressing and other such things, person has to bring it into holiness. Dahainu, for example, odam shemalbish atzmoy, a person who dresses himself, umikashit atzmoy b'malbushim, and adorns himself with like beautiful clothing, the kishutim yofim v'noim, or somebody who is putting on jewelry or other accessories or accoutrement. Yeh kavanosei lekashet diyuk nedamalkas. It's important that the person, the kavana of putting on beautiful clothing or putting on jewelry or accessories, is lekashet diyuk nedamalkas, to adorn, to beautify the image of the king. Kemavu b'gemur. So the human person is made in a godly image, and so when you beautify yourself, you're beautifying the godly image, which is to say that there's part of you which is divine, and that is the part that we honor. So when I take care of myself, I'm really, the kavana should be not just me, Hershey, but to take care of that part of God which is in me. V'chein b'chol dover, in everything, yeah, kavanosei l'shamayim, a person's kavana should be l'shamayim. U'kashis na'e kacha zaykomash yeh eloi, then if a person acts that way, then everything that he has, hen momen v'hen malbushim, whether it's money or clothing, yaspik, es atzmoi b'mashi yesh, will be enough. If I'm adorning, if I'm beautifying myself, because I'm beautifying God, that divine in me, then it doesn't matter if I have an expensive article of clothing or just something that I think is nice. It's enough, whatever I have, yismach behem, and then the person will rejoice in whatever he has, v'chayev chayim shaloi, and then the life that he lives is his own. It's real life. Avadim ein kavanosu b'kol anal l'shamayim, but if a person isn't eating for the divine in him, and it's not dressing for the divine in him, then it's never enough. Whatever it is, not enough. And nothing will ever suffice. Then life is not life, A, and B, it's not his life. I'm living somebody else's life. If I'm adorning myself because of how I want other people to see me, my life is not alive. So the Torah tells us that Sora at 100 was like 20, that she had avoided doing any sins or not doing her obligations. Ubaschov kebas zayin liyoyfi, and when she was 20, she was like 7. For beauty, umadrega base. That's Rebbe Lemaire says. Now we're talking about the second level, the kamoitinoik, that Sarah at age 20 was like a child of 7. Shemekashet atzmoi. Imagine a child of 7 standing in front of the mirror, getting dressed up. Ein yodei lehispor atzmoi. So when you get dress, you're 7 years old, and you stand in front of the mirror and put on mom's lipstick and mom's fur coat and high heels and stuff, that's not about what other people are going to think of me, how other people are going to, it's how I see myself looking at myself in the mirror. I am seeing something beautiful, worthy of being honored and adorned and adored. And that's because I'm seeing the divine. So Sarah, when she was 20 years old, she could still see herself that way, and she had absolutely no awareness of the effect that her beauty had on other people. When she looked in the mirror and put on makeup, it never occurred to her that other people are looking at her, but rather she was looking at herself and seeing the image, the Tzelem and the Demus, the Diyukne de Malka, the likeness of God, and she was adorning it. And so, Kemoitinik Shemekashet Atzmai, Ein Yedei Lehispor Atzmai, Velachshek Lehiskashet Bekishut Yoka, and just as a 7-year-old child doesn't really have an awareness of, you know, I've got to have a Ralph Lauren pair of shoes, these shoes are not, right? Doesn't think that way, right? If it's nice, it glitters, it's shiny, it's beautiful. So this is what Sarah was like at the age of 20. When normally a person is at their most narcissistic and you know, spends the most time in front of the mirror just admiring the self and with a desire to look good, and other worldly things. So Sarah, when she was making herself beautiful, it was never about her in the sense of what can she get with her beauty, or whom can she manipulate with her beauty, or who can she impress. It's only l'shamayim, it's only ever for God. So that's as far as Rebbe Elimelech goes. I want to say that if we take this insight that Rebbe Elimelech gives us, that Sarah in her youth, and when she was 7 years old, and people used to call her what? They would call her Yiska, as we were learning last week. Avi Milkva Avi Yiska. Yiska was Sarah. She could look out with her prophecy, or she was a seer. So, how is that connected with being Bazayin Liyoyfi? Shekavanosa Lekasha Diyukne Demalka, that when Sarah looked at herself, she could see the divine. That, I mean, that really is the beginning of being a prophet. That's the beginning of being a seer, is that you can see what's real. Vesora Ros Diyukne Demalka Keshebita Latzma, when she looked at herself, she saw the divine. She saw the face of God. Vesebuchinus Ruach HaKodesh. And this is what it means to have Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to see God. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is telling us, that Esther had exactly the same characteristic and the same skill, the same gift. She always saw herself as wearing princely, kingly, royal clothing and robes. Gam b'yaldusa b'beis Mordechai, even when she was a child in the house of Mordechai. Hilbisha v'izkashta kemalka, she used to dress herself up as a queen. B'gam k'shenasa malka l'idei Achashverosh, and so later when she was crowned queen by Achashverosh, lo'hoysa melucha etz lo'yoysa choshev, the whole thing, the panoply of royalty was no more impressive to her than that dressing up as a queen that she'd done as a child, because she really had truly seen herself and the Shekhinah in her. Ubigde malchuso, and the clothing, the royal clothing, lechiva yosimimah shechiva mitzirus, she didn't give them more importance than she did as a child. Vahoisamidas malchus etzla dovativi, to her, to have the midah, to have the characteristic of malchus, of sovereignty, of being a queen, that was something that came to her naturally. Shekishihibita Roa says, Atzma Malka B'diukne de Malkas. When she looked at herself in the mirror, she saw a queen. Mamish K'moish Roa says, Sora is Atzma. Like Sora, when she looked at herself, B'chol Kishuto, when she was dressing herself up, Visyapusa, and adorning herself, K'mavu B'nai Melemerech, Rabbi Melemerech says. So now we can understand the exact wording of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Ma Roa so Esther. What did Esther see? And he answers, let Esther, who was a great-granddaughter of Sarah, come. So Rabbi Akiva is saying it was something that Esther saw that made her fit to be queen of 127 countries, and it's exactly the same thing that our mother Sarah saw, which is, when you look in the mirror, you see God. Mishnah 5. Himlich ois tof, so he enthroned, he made sovereign, king, queen, the letter Tov, v'kosha loy keser, and tied it a crown, v'tzarof on zem zeh, and combined the crown and the Tov, v'tzar boi shapsi b'oilam, and formed Saturn in space, v'shabbos b'shona, and the seventh day, the Sabbath day in the year, u'peh b'nefesh, and the mouth in the soul. So, Himlich ois tof, this is note number 39, God enthroned the letter tof in the channel that is between Malchus and Yesod, and made Shabbos in the year, because Shabbos is the seventh, and if you count downwards, Beis Gimel Dalet, Chof Pei Resh Tof, there are seven double letters, the letter tof is the seventh, and the Shabbos is the seventh day. And as we said, Shvi and Chavivin, sevenths are special, because it is the inside of the 6 days of the week. And God made the Peh Benefesh, the mouth, in the body. See, Oilam Nefesh Shona, so in space we have Saturn, in time we have Shabbos, and in the soul we have the mouth, because the mouth is the font of the spirit, of the breath, and it's where it comes from. It comes out of the mouth, as we said above in the first chapter in the ninth Mishnah, in the name of the Zohar. And the three aspects of teshuvah, which we talk about on Yom Kippur, are tefillah, tzedakah, shehem, shloisha bechinas. We do, what is teshuvah? We repent what we've done in the past. And bitu yamuna b'kodesh baruch shivtich lona ala teshuvah shetiskabel. So when we do teshuvah and we say to God, you know, I'm sorry for what I did in the past, we are expressing our faith in the process of teshuvah. It's an expression of faith. Tefillah, when we pray and we make a connection with God, she's kashrus bo yisbrach b'ahoyve b'emuna. When we pray, we're expressing our faith in the present. Utzdokah tilonu la'osid, and when we give charity, the third aspect of teshuvah, we're expressing our belief in the future. Umedubah alo amuna b'chinas tzedakah, and giving tzedakah is an expression of faith, as we see. Torah tells us, V'hamin b'Hashem, Avraham Avinu believed in God, V'yachshevei lo tzedakah, and it was considered a tzedakah. Emuna shayich sala osid, and emuna is something that we have, faith is something that we have in the future, k'di'isa b'mama pasach eliyo, as we learn in the Zohar, in the opening speech of Eliyahu. Peh, the mouth, is malchus, Torah shebal peh, k'rina le. We'll be coming back to this at greater length. All right, so let's move on to the next Mishnah, Mishnah 6. Psicha leMishnah Vov. Achakach Ois Beis. So after the letter Tav, we're going to come to the letter Beis of the Beis Gimel Dalet Chav Pei Reish Tav. We're going back to the beginning. UMikoyba beNesiva sheBein Sfiras Kesel leSfiras Tiferes. And its place is at the very top of the tree, in the channel that runs between the Sefiras of Keser and the Sphere of Tiferes. V'zois b'chinas Rivka, and just as the channel, the letter Tav, belongs to Esther, this, the channel between Keser and Tiferes, belongs to Rivka. Ksiv, it's written in Bereshis, v'yisroitz tzu abonim b'kirba, and the babies, the children, were thrashing around inside her womb. Batoimen, she said, "Im kein lama ze anoichi," and Rivka said, "If so, what's going on? Why am I?" Batelech lidrosh es Hashem, and she went to inquire of God. So apparently, the pain and suffering that Rivka went through in her pregnancy was outside of nature. She went. The Gemara says she went to ask women, you know, has anybody ever suffered like this before? And you know, you could see this thrashing around in her stomach. It was unnatural, and the pain that she had. And she says, "If so, im kain, lama ze? Why this anoichi? What's going on? Why am I here?" Rashi says, "She says, what did I daven for? I davened 10 years. I davened I should have a baby. I wouldn't have davened for this if I knew this is going to happen." The commentators argue about exactly how to understand this. Rashi and Ramban, what does it mean, Vatelech Lidroishes Hashem? She went to ask of God. She went to inquire. Who did she inquire from? Does it mean that she went to seek out some prophet to ask advice, or did she pray? And Unkelus, in his Aramaic Targum, says, V'azlas lemitva ulpan. The first time the word ulpan appears. She went to learn. She went to go for some kind of learning. She went to teach me what's going on. Minkodam Hashem. L'chol adayis, whether you read Rashi or Ramban or the Targum, according to all opinions, very hard to understand. Lama hocha lidrishes Hashem? Why did she go somewhere? She's living with the God Ladash, she's living with the Rebbe. Why? Where's she going to find out what's going on? Why? Vatelech lidrishes Hashem. Shenet ala Hashem l'seis l'rivka heroin. The Torah tells us that by, and Yitzchak is davening l'noichach ishta. He's also, when she's davening, he's davening. Vayet ala Hashem, and God listened to him, and he gave her, and God, you know, healed Rivka, whatever it was that was preventing a pregnancy. So Yitzchak was involved in davening and working and worrying with Rivka. So how come she didn't ask him what was going on? I think we can explain it with something we learn in the Zohar. It says, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishinosu. Yaakov woke up after he had the dream of the ladder. Vayomer, he said, Ochein yesh Hashem b'amokem hazeh. Gevalt, God is here in this place. Vanoichi lo yedati, and I didn't know. So the Zohar says, V'chitave d'lo yudah. What's the big astonishment? He didn't know. You don't know. How could you know? It doesn't say, it doesn't like have one of those brass plaques, you know, on the wall there. The Shekhinah slept here. How is he supposed to know? Elamai v'anoichi lo yedati. So the Zohar says, what does it mean when Yaakov said v'anoichi lo yedati? Kama da'at amar, like it says in the Pasuk Rishnu, upnei Hashem lo yichilisi. Oma v'kirkol ha'yis galali. Yaakov says, so much is revealed to me. V'lo yistakalna leminda anoichi, and I didn't find out what anoichi is. The Zohar has an interesting reading. He says like this: Yaakov woke up and he says, Ochein yesh Hashem b'mokim hazeh. Obviously God is here in this place because I had this most amazing dream. V'anoichi lo yodati. How come I didn't know the word anoichi? Not anoichi I, but rather anoichi. Well, what is anoichi? The Aseres Adibros begins with the word anoichi, right? How come the anoichi is different from the word ani? We've talked about it in the Ishbitz Sedras, how the chaf inside the anoichi changes it from ani. It means a completely different thing. When God says anoichi, and the Gemara talks about it, as we're going to see. So Yaakov is saying, not that, oh, I didn't know, but rather the anoichi lo yodati. I didn't know how come I was in this place and I didn't understand something new about anoichi, about God. So, if I had known, the Zohar says, Yaakov says, I didn't know enough to go and climb under the wings of the Shekhinah l'mahavashlim and become whole. Tochazi, the Zohar says, come have a look. Ksiv v'toyme, Rivka said, im kain, if so, lama ze anoichi. So the Zohar makes a connection between the anoichi that Rivka says and the anoichi that Yaakov says. Kol yoyme v'yoyme, chomas Rivka nohoyre d'shchinta. Every single day, Rivka saw the light of the Shekhinah. She lived to have a Shekhinta b'mash kanho, utzliyas taman, the Shekhinah was there in the tent, and she used to daven there. So, what does it mean that Rivka had to go somewhere to ask her? She was living right there. It wasn't just Yitzchak who was there in the tent, the Shekhinah was there. Kivin de chamas ha'oku dila b'moho, and so when she started to have this trouble with her pregnancy and what was going on in her womb, Maksiv, what's written, Vatelech Lidreshis Hashem, and she went to go looking for God. Hello? So the Zohar says, what does it mean? Nafkas midargado. It means that she left. She left that level where she could see the Shekhinah. Lidarga achran, she went to another level. Deihu havaya. She went looking for God, that she could see the Shekhinah all the time, but that wasn't what she was looking for now. She was looking for that other aspect of God, which is the Anoichi. Adkan. So this is the Zohar. V'nera li, Pirush HaZohar, to understand the Zohar, Sheyitzchakoy b'chinas HaShekhinah Gdoish K'mosh Hizbanu Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. Yitzchak, to be in Yitzchak's presence, was to see the Shekhinah, as we explained in chapter 1, Mishnah 6. Bechinas pachad Yitzchak. You know, there are two ways of seeing God. You can look out into the world and see God, and that's chesed. Or you could look into yourself and find God, and that's really scary, because you realize there's no room for you, right? Because leidas Yitzchak hoyes galus Hashchina gdoish b'olam, because the birth of Yitzchak was the revelation of the Shekhinah, shepol Avram Avinu b'tfilosei v'avodosei kol yomav, and that because that's what Avram Avinu worked for all his life. He said, Ribbono shel Olam, please reveal yourself in the world. Eventually, God says, all right, here I'm going to give you a son, Yitzchak. So Yitzchak is the revelation of the Shekhinah. B'zeh b'chinas anoichi horishin shebaseres adibris. This is the first anoichi in the Aseres, in the Ten Commandments, Shakurish Baruch Hu Lehecho Befrat. It says, Anoichi Hashem Lekecho, I am God, your God. It doesn't say Lekechem. God's speaking to the whole Klal Yisrael, all the people of Israel, but God doesn't say I'm your God in the plural, but Anoichi Hashem Lekecho, I'm your God in the singular. Kloima, I am inside, Bekerev Kol Echad Ve'Echad, I'm inside each individual, I'm in you. Rabbi Yochanan says that the word anoichi is a notarikon. It's an acrostic of the four words anon afshoi ksivas Yehovis. I myself have written and given, or am written and given. God says, what is the meaning of, what's the Ten Commandments, what's the giving of the Torah on Sinai? God says, I'm writing myself down, I'm giving myself to you. You know, when you write something down, it's when God writes himself down, that is a really an amazing idea and an amazing process, right? But God says, not only I'm writing myself down, I'm giving myself to you. That's the meaning of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Ki inyan Torah shebiktav b'chinas gevuras, because the whole idea of the Torah shebiktav is a kind of constriction. She called Sefer Parsha v'shura mila mitzumtzum meduktik adayin cheke, because every chapter, every line, every word is exact and precise. And so for God to write himself down into a sentence, into a chapter, into a book, that's a tremendous gevura. We're not allowed to add a single letter to the Torah or to subtract. That when God says, I myself have written, it's as though, as it were, God constricted his glory, he puts it all into the Torah, into the writing. And as we said above with Esther, Avram Avinu b'chinas Torah shebiktav. Avram Avinu is like he is connected to this written Torah. Tichsiv, as it's written, Vayoytzei achutz, God takes Avram outside. Vayoymen, he says, Habited na Hashemayim. Look up there to the heaven. Usfoiras kuychovim im tuchalisporoisim. Count them. If you can count them, count them. This is how many your children are going to be. Shebiktinas koyiyazaracho. Why did God have to say to Avraham, come out? He took him outside and he showed him. Why couldn't he just say, you know those stars out there? That's how many. Why did he say, look, count, see if you can count? It's like, it's an Indian of Torah Shebiktav, right? He says, look, it's written there. I've written it in the stars. This same telling Avraham, like this are going to be your children. That's like written. Sheheraloi, God showed him k'moy b'ksav, like he shows somebody in writing. It's written in heaven. Look, you see, I've written it in the stars. V'hine, ma'avtochus u'shenizbas Avram, from this promise that Avram gets promised by God, noilid Yitzchak. Yitzchak is born. So Yitzchak comes from this writing that God has written the heavens. V'gamu b'chinas Torah shebiktav. So Yitzchak is also connected to the written Torah. Bechinas anon ashoik sivus Yehovis, I myself have written. Sheledes Yitzchak o yigilish chinabodim, because the birth of Yitzchak is also a kind of writing that God writes himself into. Yitzchak says, look, I'm going to make myself into person here. He's going to be born. That was the inyan of Ledas Yitzchak. Vezeb pirusha zoya kodesh leil. So now we can understand the zoyar. Kol yoyme veyoyme, every single day. Chamas Rivka nahoyde de shechinta. Rivka saw the light of the shechinta. To have a shechinta b'mashkenu, because the shechinta was in her tent, utzlias taman, and she used to daven there. She Rivka dora ba'oihel, Rivka used to live in the tent. Im Yitzchak b'chinas shechinta, with Yitzchak who was the shechinta, b'chinas anoichi, at that level of anoichi, I myself have written and given. Because when she saw the distress and she experienced the pain of the pregnancy, Maksiv, what's written, she went from there, she said, no, this relationship, this is what I'm seeing with the Shekhinah here, this is, I'm not going to get my answers here. Nafkas midar gedol ledarge achra dia yudke vovke. She has to go to another level. Shirivka hevino, because she understood shehayisirim borim lo mebichinas anoichi. She understood that the pain is actually coming because of the revelation of anoichi, which is the shechina. But toimen, she says, inkein lama zener, what do I need anoichi for? I don't want to be connected to anoichi if it means that I'm going to be ripped apart by these babies in my womb. Domikoidim choshva shekva tikna pegam anocha shebechava, because prior to this, Rivka had understood that her purpose was to fix the damage that was done to the cosmos by Chava. Chava, however great Chava was, but Adam and Chava, they did a lot of damage to the world, knowingly, unknowingly, wittingly, unwittingly. However we interpret what happened, but there are a lot of things that happened. And one of the things that happened is that Chava had intercourse with the serpent. You know, intercourse doesn't have to be sexual, right? Intercourse just means to have speech is also to have intercourse. And the Nochash really corrupted Chava. I mean, you know, Chava was not a child, right? But Chava was completely 100% innocent. She had never encountered guile. She had never encountered, you know, this runaway ego. She never encountered narcissism or whatever who was that was going on for the snake, for the serpent, right? So the serpent talks to her and she doesn't have any way of filtering out. So she was the most damaged just by her interactions with the nochash, with the snake. So if we have a look at this, if we have a look at the note here, note 42, I bring from the Megala Mukos, and Parashas Toldos, it says, Vayoyim Hashem lo, God says to Rivka, Shnei goyim bebit nech, you've got two nations inside, right? So what was going on? The Kavana, he says that Rivka's Kavana, Shalolis Abarak Pamechot, she wanted to have one pregnancy and to have one child, because she wanted to have a child like Yaakov, right? And Shneim Boim Bebas Achas, and she wanted everything to happen at once. So what happens is that because Esav ends up being part of this one pregnancy, so the fixing, the beauty of it is that in the end Esav also gets fixed, because God says to her Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, and the Gemara says we pronounce it Goyim, but it's written Geim, two great ones. And the Gemara says, who are these two great ones? This is Rebbe of Antoninus. Rebbe is the author of the Mishnah, right? And Antoninus was his friend. He was a Roman emperor, and they were like best friends. And Rebbe is the Rebbe Yehuda HaNossi, is the prince of the Jewish people. Antoninus is the Roman emperor, right? He's the Caesar. And he's descended from Yaakov, and he's descended from Esav. V'lulizeh, lohoi tekumu bo'olam emenu, and had there not been this prophecy and this connection, then Esa would never manage to get fixed. So there's a medrash, and it's brought in different places. One of the places brought in Sefer Bahira, that Samuel, we actually learned earlier when we were talking about Chava, at the beginning of the second Mishnah, the second Perek, talked about how Samuel, one of the archangels, he was jealous, and he said, we better finish off this Adam, and the only way to finish him off is by making him do something wrong so that God will get rid of him. And he rides on a camel. It says he rides on a camel, and he comes and he jumps on to the Nochash, the serpent, and he's really, it's not really the serpent who's having a dialogue with Chava, but it's really Samuel talking through the serpent, riding on a camel. So the Megal HaMukos says, Ukamosha Samuel Roichav al Gomel, what does it mean he's riding on a Gomel? Gomel is an otarikon of Goram Misa Le'olam, Gimel Mem Lamed. He's bringing death to the world. So this is what happened in this interaction, this intercourse between Chava and Samuel with the Gomel. So now comes Rivka, who's fixing everything, all the damage that Chava has made. And what does it say? V'hipila malagomal k'shera says Yitzhak. As soon as she sees Yitzhak, it says she throws herself from the camel. Shehu ben zuga. Because as soon as she meets Yitzhak, or she sees him from the distance, she realizes that this is going to be the fixing of everything that was wrong with the world. L'kabel Odom kadmo'o, that Yitzhak represents Odom, and she's Chava. And so she throws herself off the camel to hint that this is the fixing of that intercourse, right? L'chein nafla azma adagoma letzakim masei rishonim. Alkein amra. So now, when she sees that she's thrashing around inside with these babies, and she doesn't know that she's got two babies, right? She thinks she's got one, and that there's something very seriously wrong with it, that it's trying to kill her. She thinks, what kind of a monster am I giving birth to that wants to kill me? It's not even, I haven't even given birth to it yet. It's trying to kill me, right? And Cain, she says, Sha'adayin li nitaro iso, if I am still just a regular person and I haven't managed to fix what Chava damaged, lama ze anoichi? What's this anoichi for? Al gilgazel lama bepam ze mirechem yitzosi? What was I born for? If nothing is fixed and, you know, monsters are going to come out of me, like, what did I get born for? Halaloi tikna klum, I haven't fixed anything. Because, as the Megala Mukas ends up by saying, because her kavana was to fix that very first drop of corruption that was put into her by the Nochash, right? And she does, she fixes it. We know, we see that Chava, that Rivka and Yitzchak, they are like Adam and Chava before the sin, right? The Torah tells us, Abimelech looks in, and he thinks Yitzhak and Rivka are brother and sister, but then he sees them laughing and playing together, and then it's a euphemism, right? They were being intimate with laughter, right? Who's intimate with laughter, right? It's a very high madrega. So to bring it back, so V'chosh v'rivka, now we're back in the main text. She thinks to herself, you know what? This is about the Shekhinah. This is Gevura. This is constriction. This is something to do with Yitzchak. So she went looking. She says, I need something that's not going to be a Shekhinah teaching. I need a Yud Kei Vov Kei teaching. So she leaves this madrega and goes to another one, the Iavaya, which is Yudke Vovke, Ki Rivka Mechoy Midas Tiferes, because Rivka herself is the source of the Sephira of Tiferes, which is connected to Yudke Vovke. Bechines Yaakov Avinu Mileba Moshe Rabbeinu Milegav, because, you know, Yecheskel in the vision of the chariot, you know, on the chariot it says Kedmus Pnei Adam, he sees a face of a man, and the Gemara says, what man? It's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is like the outside face of God, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the inside face. Tiferes has an outside and an inside. The outside looks like Yaakov, the inside of Tiferes looks like Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a completely different emotion, this is a completely different dynamic to the one that Rivka is living with. She's living with Yitzchak, which is Gilui Shekhinah. It's not the working, it's not the presence, it's not the being of Ho Yehoi Ve'Yeh, of was, is, and will be, which is the meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Havaya. Shekhinah is now. So Rivka knows that she has to leave home to find out what it is that she wants to learn. So when the children are like thrashing around inside, and Rivka lamas, she doesn't understand why, what's happening to me. That's not what I came to this world for. I've come to fix Chava, and everybody knows that Chava is the mother of everything good. Yeah. Oile ima ba'ena yoredesim. What does it mean when the Torah tells us that Adam called his wife Chava because she's Eim Kol Chai? It's an interesting Gemara. Torah Tmima points it out. He says, the Gemara says in Ksubas, if a man was poor and became rich, he can't say to his wife, look, you come from a poor house like me, I don't have to like raise your standard of living just because I have money. You know, I'm going to buy myself a big house because I have like 5 wives now, and you can stay here in the slum, and I'm going to get myself, you know, a nice... Now, the Gemara says, no, whatever he enjoys, or if he enjoys a standard of living, then whatever he enjoys, she's entitled to. He can't say to her, when I married you, you were poor, we were poor, we were both poor, so you're used to it, you can't really... No. On the other hand, what happens if they were rich and they became poor? She could say to him, you know, I'm not used to this. You're asking me to live without shoes? You're asking me to live with, you know, a leaky roof? No, I don't have to live like this. Not what I'm used to. He can't say to her, well, get used to it. She says, I'm a woman, right? And Adam says, I'm calling you Chava because you're the Eim Kol Chai, you're the mother of all life. So this is a Gemara, right? Rebbe Loza Oimer Mehocha Ki Hi Hoise Eim Kol Chai Lechayim Nitno Veloy Letzar. Woman is given Lechayim and not for pain. So you can't say to her, like it or lump it. No. It's a very interesting Gemara. So the word Lechayim doesn't mean life, it means everything good. So Rivka has fixed the damage that Chava has done. Nu, so why is she in pain? V'ze'ika limit mechava mebchinas Hashem shekore lo Adam. V'achas shehevino Rivka, and after Rivka understood sheboim lo yisurim ma'oise bchinas shel Yitzchak yashchina, that the pain is coming to her through because of her connection to Yitzchak, who is the Shechina, right? Amrim kein lama ze anoichi daik. So what's this business with anoichi? This doesn't belong to me, to who I am. I am the vehicle for Tiferes. And so she goes looking for God in the beginning of Tiferes. It doesn't say she went to seek of God, but Holcha Elo Es Hashem. So here I want to kind of change the subject, because it could have said Vatelech Lidroish Hashem. Was it Telech Lidroish Es Hashem? So there's a Gemara, it's brought in many places in Shas. Shimon Amsuni Ho Yedorish Kol Esed Shebetoyre. We learned it also in the beginning of chapter 3. Shimon Amsuni was a Talmud, was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva. And as part of his doctoral thesis, he was going to take something that Rabbi Akiva was teaching. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Nochem of Gamzu, and Nochem of Gamzu had a thesis that every time it says Achen Rak in the Torah, that it's a mute. It reduces whatever was being said. It's a it says Ach Beyoy Merishoin, or wherever you have in the Torah, it just says just or but or only. So it is telling us something that it's less than, right? If it says only on the first day, then it doesn't mean the whole of the first day, it means part of the first day, right? Ach b'yom rishon. On the other hand, if it says gam, or it says es, where it doesn't need to have the word es, the word gam, then it doesn't just mean the thing, and it means the thing and something else. So that was the teaching that Rebbe Akiva brought from his Rebbe of Nochem Ish Gamzu. So his student, Shimon Amsuni, says, you know what? Actually, I have a theory that this Shimon Amsuni is really Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But he said, I'm going to go through the whole Torah, right? Bereshis Bara Lekim, es hashemayim ve es ha'aretz. Could have just said bereshis borakim shemayim ve'aretz, right? So he goes, starts at the beginning of Genesis and goes through the whole Torah till he gets into Devarim, until he gets into Deuteronomy, and then it says es hashem elekecha tira, fear God. But the way the verse is constructed, there's a word es, fear God. Well, what could that come to include? So he said, you know what, I abandoned my thesis. Oh, everybody was like up in arms, surely you're not going to abandon your thesis, come on. He says, no, I feel like I, if I try and push this, I'm really pushing it. I mean, what, you're supposed to fear God, who else, what else, right? Can't be anything else. So he abandoned the thesis, but Rabbi Akiva heard about it. He says, well, it's a simple meaning. What does it mean, fear God? S means the rabbi's Talmud Chochem. You have to fear a Torah scholar the way you fear God. So the word es Hashem lekecha tira. Now we're going to bring this back to Rivka. It says vatelech lidroish, she went to inquire es Hashem. Rivka she yada she toilet cherish kolan shomis bechinas tiferes, and Rivka who understood that she was going to give birth to the midah of tiferes bechinas Yaakov and Moshe. She also knew that it's God and. But she didn't know. She didn't know that es Hashem elekecha tira, that there is fear involved. That there's something, you know. It says Moshe Rabbeinu came up to heaven, and he finds, you know, God tying the crowns to the letters we learned in chapter 3, and, you know, he discovers that Rabbi Akiva is going to be tortured to death, and he asks why, and he gets told, Shtoik, Kach Ola B'machashova, this is how it arose in the thought. Rivka didn't know this. Rivka didn't know that the Es Hashem, that with God comes fear, that with the Yud Kei Vav Kei comes fear, and that this fear is Ola B'machashova, like Rabbi Akiva understands, right? We're on page 21. V'zeh d'chsev, so what happens? God says to her, V'yem Hashem lo shnei goyim bevitnech, you have two nations inside you. Pirish, V'yem Hashem lo, what does it mean, V'yem Hashem lo? Could just say Vayom Hashem, God said. What's Vayom Hashem La? Hainu Lehei Achroinu Shebashem. God says to the last Hey, Lehei. Hainu to the Shechina, because the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the final Hey is the Shechina. La Daikan Namre Drushzu. So to the Hey at the end of the name, God says, Es L'Rabbo Is Tamet Chochem. You should know that there's a lot of pain. It doesn't matter the fact that you are the mother, so to speak, of the Bechina of Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Tiferes, but Tiferes and Malchus are inextricably linked, and that the Shechina and the pain of the Shechina are part and parcel of the world. Ulam Soida Dovokach, the secret is like this. Why so much pain? Because of Esav. Why? Because in Esav there is something hidden. Sheba Esav nitman nitzus toira ilo on danafkas michochma ilo. Because inside Esav there is something very, very high. Something higher than in Yaakov. It's hard to believe, right? Because Yaakov is Moshe, is the Torah, right? But Esav is connected to something higher. Because the Gemara says that Torah Neveles Chochma Ilo, that the Torah that we have is an unripe version of Chochma Ilo, of real wisdom. And Esav was connected somehow to that real wisdom. And that's why Yitzchak, when he looks at Esav, he's mamash in love, right? Because Chain Because Yitzchak looks at Esav, and Esav has chen. Ve'isav emedesh anelem. And also we learn in the Zohar Kodesh Rabbi Yaakov Pesach, Yuchan Rosho Balomad, the Rosho finds chen, but he learns nothing. Tzedek Balomad Tzedek, the Rosho, the wicked, has so much favor. He finds favor, he has so much grace, but he learns nothing good. Be'eretz nechoiches ya'avel. And in the, you know, it doesn't matter where you put him, he'll always just keep on doing the wrong thing, right? Tanya Omer Rabbi Yaakov says, this is in the Zohar, right? Medishalem. Vai shahrosh yochem ba'ilam hazeh. Woe that the wicked have so much chen in this world. Zeh zareh shel Esav harosh. These are the children of Esav, the wicked. Mipnei ma yesh lehem chen v'rachmi. Why do they have so much chen? Because the children of Yaakov didn't learn how to be good. In this land, in this wonderful land, they do crooked things. Which is the land of goodness. So chen and rachamim, these are the two midas associated with tiferes, b'chinas rivka. Esav is that b'chin of anoichi. When Yaakov puts on the clothing that belongs to Esav, what does he say to his father? Anoichi Esav b'cherecho. Anoichi Esav b'cherecho. How could he say such a thing? And even though it's true that Rivka really, she didn't deserve that pain. I mean, she was completely, Rivka deserved to have a birth like Chava, right? You go to bed with your husband and out she popped with a baby, right? I mean, like the Gemara says, they went into bed, two of them, and they came out of the bed, four of them, right? Adam and Chava go to bed and they come out with Adam and Chava and Cain and Hevel. So why did Rivka deserve, like, what did she do? She didn't do anything, but because she said, God, just one pregnancy. So then Yaakov and Esav had to be born together. And in fact, in the end, it's a good thing because Esav ends up having the tikkun because he's born together with Yaakov. And the two of them are like Reb and Antoninus. They're never completely separated. Nevertheless, all the pain is because of the anoichi and not because of the yudke vovke. So Rivka was unable to protect Yaakov because she wasn't just giving birth to Yaakov. Kishnei tumim bevitna, because she's got twins in her womb. Gam Yaakov gam Esav. Why mipnei hachein shem Esav? And of course, chein is what we're talking about here. So let's do, if we have time, to do the Mishnah here. No, we'll have to leave the Mishnah for next week.